And good evening. Welcome, children of the stars, to another night of Cosmic Radio here on the BBS. Hope everyone had a wonderful Happy New Year. Tonight on Cosmic Radio, we will go over Capricorn's extended forecast the last 15 minutes of the show. Now, let me ask you guys a question out there. What if I told you you could actually see UFOs in the night sky going to battle with each other? Would you call me crazy? Some people have. Would you believe me or not? Well, tonight, I'm joined by my friend, Ed Grimsley. Now, Ed has been watching this phenomena take place ever since he was a teenage boy. Now, with the help of some night vision goggles, you are able to see incredible happenings in our night sky. Ed has been on other radio shows such as Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, Red Ice Radio out of Sweden, UK Radio, and The Quantum Leap with Bob Oliver. You can check out his website at www.edgrimsley.com. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Ed Grimsley. Good evening, Ed.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well tonight. And how are you?
Are you ready? Oh, I'm ready for some fun. Let's get out there and tell the truth and knock those people right on their rear ends. And,
absolutely. Well, it sounds like your mission...
Let's put them in their place.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like your mission is to show people what's happening in Earth space all the time. Why don't you explain a little bit about what you do, Ed, to our listening audience?
Well, I started out doing a little... telling people about the UFOs and trying to get the truth out to them. And the more I tell the truth, the more I'd find out and the more truth I'd tell, until pretty soon I realized that our government is not our government and that we're being lied to and that we also need to stand up, wake up, and get our rights back because they're being taken from us systematically day by day. And the UFOs is just part of the truth. The secret space program that exists is part of it. And the thing is that we have, beyond a doubt, proof that UFOs are there and existing. We have videos. We have footages. It is so much about it. Not altered, not touched up or changed in any way. And they're out there flying all the time.
Well, so, I haven't had the opportunity to physically go and do this and see this, but I do believe it's very true. And I actually had the opportunity, Ed, of listening to you on the Quantum Leap a while back when Bob Oliver had his show, The Quantum Leap. And you were actually on a Skywatch mission, and you called in live to Bob's show. And I actually heard people that were on this expedition with you getting on air and saying what they saw. So I know very true and very real.
It's extremely real, and it's so real that it's being covered up deliberately by governments around the world, especially the internal one right here in America, that is not wanting you to know any of the truth. And they don't even want you to have night vision goggles that can work in high quality because you can see the truth and you can find it for yourself. And so that's why I started selling night vision goggles to help my work. And get the truth out, get the message out, and wake up the world, because whether they know it or not, we're all in danger, big danger. And, you know, you can only tell so much truth. And if it doesn't get listened to, or somebody comes out and says, oh, he's a liar, it's bugs and bats and bees. And, and they want... But they don't put their name on it and say, oh, I'm so-and-so. What they do is they're anonymous.
Well, right.
You know, it's people that are non-believers or people that are deliberately debunking to the government about you, so that the work that you're doing, they try to make you fail. And often when I'm on a phone call, talking like right now, they'll blip, cut in, and they'll make squeaky, beepy noises and do all kinds of things that's just unworthy of anybody who has a quality brain.
Well, I know in the past of doing radio, I have talked about things, not on this station, of course, but on other stations where I've had like dead silence on air for a brief moment of, you know, or a couple of minutes, you know, they've cut in and everything has stopped. And it seems like every time I bring up something, you know, I think last time I was talking about Lockheed Martin and technology and how we've gotten that, where we got that technology. And then my radio show went dead for about 5-10 minutes. I was off air and I thought, well, that's a little bizarre. They're listening to me. You know, so I get
this when you were on Howl's reindeer chasing station.
Yes. Yes, but it's happened, you know, a couple of times.
He's a guy that didn't like what I had to say, didn't like what Bob had to say, and he was actually so rude to butt in on the time that we had paid for, because he was the station manager, and he would butt in and tell us, well, don't do this. I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing that. And I literally had to tell him to get off at the station, that it was ours. We paid for it. And things like, you're an idiot. Stop it.
Yeah.
He's quite a unique person.
Yes.
Just thought I'd throw that in for you.
He's a character. And now let me ask you something, Ed. What is there a certain type of night vision goggles you need? Can you go and buy these on eBay? Are you you're a seller of them? Is that my understanding?
I am, but what I do is I try to make $150, $200 to help with my work and give people a fair deal.
Okay.
But the problem is that other companies are feeding off of what my knowledge is and how I've told the world about this. And what they're doing is basically trying to make a big profit on it. And sometimes they're just selling goggles they don't know a damn thing about UFOs.
Okay. You need to go to someone reputable like yourself who's in the business. And knows what he's talking about.
Well, let me give you an example. There is different tubes made by different companies, and many of them are made by another company that's in the United States that's gathered it all, and they're high quality, and they have good material. But some of them were overpriced, and some are made in foreign countries that do as good a job and are better priced. Some have a tendency to go out and break or jar or fail to illuminate. And in doing that, you then have big money costs.
Mm.
And if you have someone buy a pair and use them for a while and they're constantly looking towards the moon or seeing a street light or other things with them that can give streaking and blemishes in it, they can damage it too, time after time. And then when it gets bad and you don't see very good, they can put it on eBay or put it somewhere where, hey, you know, here they are for $2,000, you know, works good. And you don't know. And if you buy that, you might go turn them on 2 or 3 times and have the tube go out. And then you're going to cost $1,500, $1,900 for a good quality tube. And the tube is just about everything. So you have to know that there are companies that are selling what they call Gen 3s and this type and that type. And some of them are full of specs, because there's standard tube, and there's others that are alligated tube, anelated tube and various pentacle tubes. A pentacle is an expensive tube, but as my experience, those don't do any better than some of the Gen 3 regular tubes. And so by going through these goggles ahead of time, looking at the tubes, trying to get the sky watchers the tube that can show them the best with the tints and the colors so that they can pick up more and see it. Then I, in turn, give them a follow-up where I talk to them about how to look, the time to look, and how to move the goggles, and how to do a focus trick on your eyesight to where you are able to see things that you don't normally see through the goggles. And this is stuff that I've been doing for 20 years. I've been telling people about it for 10 and got to know George Norrie, and I tell a lot of very powerful people and take them out and show them. But Ozzy Osbourne, Sharon Osbourne.
You've taken those two out?
Yeah, and there's some.
Are you kidding me? I did not know this. Wow. That's pretty cool, Ed.
And I want you to know that Ozzy spoke English and I could understand it.
I think that's a little trumped up on TV. I think he can speak quite well. I mean, I've actually seen him in concert several times and I understood him perfectly. So rock on.
I think it depends on what they were giving him for medication, or rather he talked or mumbled.
Yes, I know. Well, poor Ozzy, he's had his issues with substance abuse. Now, before we go on, if anybody out there wants to call in, ask Ed any questions, you can call in at toll-free 1-888-627-6008 or 1-530-327-7602. We will have Ed on here for another 20-30 minutes. So now, Ed, let me ask you,
now I know that number, so now I can call in and talk to myself and get away with it.
There you go. Now, the going price for a pair of these goggles ranges from what? I was looking online from $1,800 to $2,500. That's my understanding. Is that about the right?
It depends on what kind. A lot of times the $1,800 is not very good, and you'll be able to see some stuff, but they don't work as good. They have problems with them. And some of the ones that I've had that people wanted them, and I went ahead and got them for them, and about half of them are unhappy after a year, and they want to trade them in and get a better set. And so I just recommend that what you got to do is, this is a big thing. It's something that's really super going on out there, and if you want to know about it, you have to get good. Don't get medium, get good, because if you have three craft flying against two craft and they're circling and doing a battle up there, you don't want to see half of it, you want to see it all. And when you do, you'll know that you're being lied to. When you see it for yourself, you're being lied to, manipulated, and we are not being told the truth, and they're doing that to keep us in the dark. Literally, they don't want you to have night vision goggles of high quality, and the cheaper ones don't work, so then they'll sell you the cheaper ones. And the goggles that I recommend is, I have them designed, set up with a factory that is well known, and they are one of the biggest companies in the world now. And in turn, there's tubes that I can get out of another country that are as good as the tubes that are here, because everybody's copying everybody nowadays and trying to improve on things. And these are real good tubes, and they work excellent. So I can put them in a PVS 7 housing, or I can put them in a housing that I specialize in. It's called the EG7. And you can put this tube in, and it can go to another country. The ones that are American-made, that is the PVS-7, the rights and the technology laws in America, is that you can't ship those out of the country or sell them out of the country. But these others are as good as those. And you can see, you can travel, you can get on a ship, you can go to Mexico, you can go to Canada, England, whatever, and take your goggles with you. And then you can look at the stars and the things that are there and do it. I've got people all over the world now with goggles, and they're looking, they're studying, and they're putting stuff on the YouTube saying, hey, here's three of them flying across, or here's two, or here's one blowing another one up. So about 10 years ago, when I went and told the UFO world, hey, I could see them all the time. What's the matter with you guys? And told them how to do it and when and what. Told Buffon, told all these other people, and told George Norrie at a conference. And I shocked him, but I don't think he believed me. And then I could see him someplace, and I say, hey, George, why are you going to come and look? Don't be afraid. They don't bite. And he would laugh and say, oh, yeah, whatever. So one day I said, George, I'm going to stop inviting you or asking you. So we're going up on the roof tonight, and, you know, come on up or don't. But if you want to know the truth, get up there. And so when he came up, I showed him one flying across. Handed him a pair of goggles, and I had a pair, and I was showing him with the laser, and he was following it. And I says, oh, yeah, it's just slowing up. It's going to stop. It's going to cloak. It'll stop, and it'll disappear. And it did it. And he goes, where did it go? I says, it's still right there. That's it, right there. And it'll probably start out and fly away again. And he goes, you're kidding, isn't that? And then somebody said, let me look or whatever, and he handed a pair of goggles off. And as soon as they did, it started to fly away again. I saw it, here, George, and I shined the laser near it, and he looked up, and there it was flying off. And then there were some that were others that were flying around, and some of them were coming through and just really doing some maneuvering. And it was a pretty good night. And there's about 20 people there with us, or 30, and George and Tommy from the show, and it blew them away.
Wow.
And you can bet that George talked about it on his next show.
So George Norrie's experienced this. That's actually very cool. Now, what kind of saucers do you see? I mean, do you see all different, you know, because there's all different kinds of spacecraft. I mean, I've actually seen, like, cylinders in the sky. There's saucers, there's triangles. Do you see all of those shapes or just a certain few?
I've seen so many different things that if I told you everything, you would know I was crazy, but I'm really not. And by the way, if people think you're half crazy, that's better than having them think you're totally dumb.
Well, that is true. You know, crazy like a fox.
Yeah.
Ever heard
but
that?
Let me tell you real, try to answer this real quick, okay?
Okay.
I have saw numerous times, many times, I have saw the spacecraft that are long, cylinder-like, that are looking cigar shape.
Right.
I have seen the oval with ribbing going across the tops, like an umbrella supports, you know, the little streaks of metal coming over to the edges holding the umbrella open.
Right.
But a similar look on the spacecraft and having a dome up on top. And had them in formations of three flying around me in a big circle. And it's like they're looking at me, looking at them. I have ones that look like a football shape. I have ones that look like a Concorde jet or a B-1B bomber.
Oh, wow.
And then no noise, no flame. I have seen craft go from maybe 10, 15,000 miles an hour flying across and have others cross or out in front, and they go into like a battle mode and go streaking off so fast that you can hardly see them, and circling other craft, dogfighting, blowing each other up with like a laser blast or a railgun type. And I've seen many, many explode, and I've seen the ones that often, I think they're kind of like related to our side or us in basically in the Seeker Space Program, ours, and they will come out with a capsule or a unit that you can see flashing a strobe light because it's very bright up there, and they want to be found and rescued, and so they'll start doing a strobe light. Well, I've had many experiences with seeing the strobe lights be picked up, but one night it was extremely just so unique and so great of an experience that one had got blown up by another.
Oh, wow.
And it went streaking across. And then as you keep checking back in the area that it was streaking off into, exploding, and here comes a strobe light on, just going along about a medium speed because it's not accelerating. It's just whatever momentum it had, that's what it's got. And in turn, these lights would be shooting, and another craft comes in, speeding into it, slows up, and turns and circles it. And then here came two more craft from another direction, and they slowed up. One went to the far side, one slowed up and started to turn at the close side. And so you can see they split the circle, and these two are flying around, protecting and guarding over it, while the one that moved in closer is loading it, getting it taken care of, and then it starts to fly off slow, and one of the circles broke free, went out in front of it, and another one came in behind it, and so there's three in a line, and they're flying out into deeper space from where they were. And as I watch them, they're flying out straight at the moon, and they're going out and traveling towards the moon in that direction, so likely that's where they were going. So either they were going to take a hostage or a prison back to the moon, or one of their craft got damaged and they're taking it back to the moon.
And so when these things blow up because they're so far out of our atmosphere, obviously, I mean, if something was to blow up, we would see parts of it, you know, somewhat landing on our planet. But I'm assuming that because they're so far out there in the atmosphere that it kind of goes into space. Is that how it works?
Well, let me explain it to you. If something's doing 20,000 miles an hour, or 50,000, and they're maneuvering and dogfighting, they're in space. They're out there in that vacuum.
Okay.
And as long as, if they get blown up and their parts are blown up, you'll see debris blow up and sometimes first and secondary explosions, but you don't see something go boop and come right down and burn into Earth because they're in space, and they won't enter until they slow up enough to where they can drop in, which will be somewhere else around the planet. And when they drop in, then you will see a piece of debris or part of a craft burning up coming in. Now, they have never been seen by me battling within the atmosphere. I have seen several come close to each other, and they both zoomed out as fast as they could out into space, further out, and then they started to battle. So I think there's a rule of engagement there.
Who are they battling? Alien against alien, or is it alien against our technology?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm going to try to explain it the best I can.
Okay.
Because they, what they do is they'll come across each other, and for some reason those will battle. And others will come across and be near, and they won't battle. And I think it's rather their friend or foe. Yeah. And I think that I think what's going on is it could be religious wars. It could be continuation of the wars in space. You know, it could be who's fighting over control of Earth and who wants to come in and take over. And the ones that are here don't want anybody else taken over. And there's a battle to keep one another out. So basically, I'm going to call it a battle against good and evil, or the dark and the light. But
well, it gives Star Wars a whole new meaning.
Well, I saw Star Wars before it was Star Wars. I was 16 years old, and I stayed up all night watching them battle over the Sierra skies.
Oh, wow.
And it went on, and it went off and dark until the next morning to daylight. And I told my father and everybody, they came out and watched. I yelled and woke up other hunting campsites and friends of ours that hunted the same area. And they were amazed by it. And, you know, after a couple hours, my dad says, well, I'm going to go back to bed. And I go, oh, Dad, no, you can't do that. I mean, it's like, this could be the end of the world. These people are blowing each other up there. And maybe it's Armageddon. And he goes, well, if I wake up and it's been Armageddon, I'll know it in the morning, but I'm going to get some sleep. He goes, I don't know who they are. And I don't know what they're fighting about. I don't know whose side I'd be on. And the fact is that my 270 deer rifle wouldn't reach him anyway. But he says, you're going into town for supplies with me in the morning, so you better get some sleep. And I says, I'll try, but I can't take my eyes off the sky now. And I was hooked, and I watched all night, watched them, their battle formations. I watched two against two. I watched them head on run, three in the group. I watched a great big circle of them chasing and fighting and shooting across the circle. And I watched the maneuvers where they would come head on. And after they passed each other, they fired in the front coming through. They fired out the back going away from each other. And in whatever direction it was, they always turned, broke left, which put them into a big circle with one another. And they began flying that circle, getting tighter and tighter, and firing across the circle. And, you know, when you're firing 20 miles across the circle, blowing each other up or missing, it's a hairy thing to see. And I watched that. And, like, if there was two fighting against three, they hung in there. And if there was one got blown up and the last one was there, he'd break out of the circle like as if he was a spark off of a grinding wheel. Whoosh, out he'd go. And he'd break and go out towards space, and they'd break and follow him. And a minute later, here's some others coming in and chasing in his behalf and getting the other group in the middle. And the two that are chasing the one has now somebody behind them firing forward, and one in front firing back, and they're firing in both directions. And you could see the streaks just you could see the laser beams going.
So, Ed, what is the best time of night to watch these? Is it at, you know, my understanding was it's at dusk, but it doesn't sound right. Now it sounds like it's all night long.
Well, no, you can see them anytime if they're high enough and big enough. But the best time, because the Earth rolls away from the sun, the most craft fly in the 100 to 250-mile range, and you can see the light, the sunlight hitting their craft. And sometimes there's groups of five or six flying in formation. Sometimes there's two or one. And you'll see them when they are closest to the Earth, when the sun is closest, but yet they're in the dark and the sunlight is reflecting on them. when you roll around further later at night, the further you roll away from the sun, then you see more straight out into darkness until it's out there 1,000 miles or so where there's light coming around and illuminating. And then you can see reflection off of those. Now, at night, the first 2 hours is the best, or in the morning, the last 2 hours, because that's when the sunlight's hitting in a certain range to where you can see the craft better. And if it's a moonlight night, it's more apt to be a longer window because the moonlight will illuminate or cast lighting back onto the craft, and you can see them better. But at the problem with the moonlight is that you have to turn your back to the moon and look away from the moon and on all the other directions, because moonlight can bother your goggles and make streaking, and it's also hard to see craft in there when you are seeing the brightness of the moon.
Wow.
I hope I'm letting you follow me there.
I'm following you. No. Wow.
Okay.
It sounds exciting. Now, how does an individual go on a sky watch?
Well, for most part, people would call me and I would set up an appointment. And sometimes I'd have groups of 10, 20 people. And if it was a special occasion, I'd have maybe 100, 150 people.
Wow.
And I would plug in a couple cameras to night vision and plug it into a big screen TV. And then people would be watching the TV and then other pair of goggles. They would be sharing other pair and looking for themselves, taking turns. And we would be videoing and pointing out with lasers different craft. And we did that at the International UFO Conference in 2009 and 2010. But it was extremely successful. And people that didn't know, it made believers out of them.
Well, actually, like I said, I've heard it live on air where people have gone, you know, you've called in the radio station and, you know, in the middle of the expedition, and people got on the air and were actually talking about it on Quantum Leap, that, oh my God, I saw this and I saw that. And it was actually really cool to listen to that. It's like, wow, you know, the excitement in their voice, you know. It's the excitement of their voice, you know. Especially, I love it when I hear people who don't believe in that. This, that, and the other, and then they go out and they see it with their own eyes, and they have this total change of thought process after they've experienced it with their own eyes. It's kind of cool.
I was on a cruise ship a few months ago. I was on a cruise ship. I was on one last month too for 21st Mayan Day, and did a ship down there and did goggles on it and showed people. But a couple months before that, we went down to another cruise and all the way down to British Honduras. And one man was up on the deck and he goes, well, you know, I look up and I see stars and I know there's a lot of things out there, but he says, I'm here for the paranormal part of it. He says, I really don't think I'll ever see a UFO. And he says, to be honest, I'm not trying to make trouble or nothing, so don't punch me, he goes. I think you're seeing bugs and birds and bats. And I laughed at him, and I said, I don't have to punch you or do anything. You're already doing it to yourself. I says, you watch, you look, follow my directions, and then at the end of the night, you tell me if it's real or not. Your opinion. I'll go by your opinion. And he laughed. He says, okay. So I had an extra pair of goggles that I let him keep for most of the time and other people were sharing. Well, here I'm looking up there, and I have told him sometimes we'll see three big ships, and they'll be coming from dark, deeper space, and they'll be coming in, and they'll be getting bigger and bigger, and then they'll go and they'll drop into the ocean someplace. And he goes, oh, come on. He says, come on. He says, He says, that'd be worth $1 million. I says, well, if we see it, you can give me a check or money order or cash. And he is laughing. So it wasn't a half hour. And here from deeper space, we picked up three. And they're in a formation, like on nose in the lead, and one on each of side further back. And they're pretty good size. And then all of a sudden I go, oh my God, there's two more high guards. And he goes, what? And he's looking and he goes, oh, I see the three. He says, wow, they're real. He says, they're real. That's not nothing. They're real. And he gets all excited. And I says, look up higher and further to the back. And you will see one on each side, higher and further out. They're the high guard. They're protecting the other three from a sneak attack or attack from the back or above, or whatever. And he looks, he goes, ah, oh, my God, there is two more. And so here he gets to see five coming down and going to the formation. And he turns and he looks at me and he goes, you're not crazy. And I go, I knew that. But now I want you to go tell people what you saw, because they're going to say you're crazy. And he goes, I'm afraid to tell my friends, because I told them I didn't believe in this. And he says, oh, my God.
Oh, that's...
I says, look at it this way. I'm telling you the truth. The government's telling you a lie. They don't want you to know the technology they have and how they've been flying in and out of space at ease for over 60 years. And you don't know. And you're getting your money spent. So the NASA and the Nazis and the aliens and the New World Order boys can all work together and keep you stupid so that you'll just keep paying taxes. They'll keep learning and doing and controlling, and they won't even put you in the loop.
They want you to stay unawake and unaware.
Yeah, they do have their plans. And Obama, I just can't tell you. The guy, with help of others like Hillary Clinton and people like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, these people, I would say they're the enemies of the people, and they put themselves in the position to get control, to say, to do, and lie to you and make billions of dollars from the people. The reason why they're not doing the shuttle program now is because
there's a private entrepreneur now.
There's
several, yes. But the one that they put on TV that I've seen on a conspiracy show, I guess he's building a space station. That's probably for a whole nother show one night. But you're absolutely right. Our government is lying to us. The UFOs.
I know. Oh, he is. His name is Robert Bigelow.
That sounds familiar. Yep. Now, Ed, want to throw out your website there? We only have another minute or two to go, so that people know how to contact you and whatnot.
Well, I'm www.edgrimsley, and I haven't even looked myself up lately. I think it's
I have
at Yahoo.
Okay, that's your email address. So edgrimsley@yahoo.com. And then his website, I believe, is www.ed.grimsley.com, and that's spelled Grimsley.
My email is ed.grimsley@yahoo.com. And the www.edgrimsley.com, I think, is my website. But, you know, I talk to myself once in a while. I didn't get the right answer. So you're just going to have to look it up one way or another. And
I'll post it on my website as well, and also on my Facebook page for everyone to. Now, Ed, I'd like to have you on again sometime. Maybe we'll talk about, you know, government cover-ups or something.
Well, if we don't do it soon, we might not have a chance because they're moving on us real quick.
I know, and I'm planning on having your partner in crime, as I call him, Mr. Oliver, on in the very near future as well.
That's Ollie Bobber. Bob Oliver.
Hi, I know you guys have these pet names for each other.
Oh, he's an idiot. I don't call him anything pet name. I pick on him so bad that he has a complex.
Aw, poor Bob.
But I want to tell you something for your people to look it up. But on Disclosure TV, there's one in there about the shooting at the school being that a lot of it's put on phony. And I've been saying ever since it happened, and before that, the theater, that they're using Manchurian candidates, and they're using actors and things because they want sympathy, and they're doing it themselves. And that's the CIA, the dark ops government, and they think nothing of killing people to try to get their way, and that way is to take your guns away so you can't defend yourself against them.
I agree with that.
And you'll find that there was a girl in there, a little girl, and this guy, Parker, supposedly her dad, it shows them in a picture and a family portrait. Well, the rest of the family changed clothes. And then when they were supposed to sit and be seen with Obama as an interview and how sad it was and how everything was bad and they lost their child and all that. These guys are so stupid that the little girl didn't change her clothes from one scene to another. And they asked for the Parker daughters, and she came out and was sitting there next to the president and the family picture. And here she was supposed to be dead.
Another conspiracy theory.
No, it's not a theory, it's a fact.
Well, in the line of work I do, I can tell you right now, if they are picking Manchurian candidates, the Illuminati knows about this astropsychology stuff because Adam Lanza, he has the perfect stars for a natural-born killer. They know how to pick them then. Because it's the configuration of everything. This is for a whole nother show, and I have to get to Capricorn for my listeners. But if you put those three charts up, Adam Lanza, Jared Lautner, and Holmes, who did the Aurora shooting, all three of these guys, there are so many similarities that this is the perfect making for
a
killer.
There's similarities because they're programming them and using mind control to get them to do a thing or be victimized, and you'll find out that the guy in Aurora, Colorado, and the guy with the school both have family connections to the same relatives that were going to testify against the group that are testifying about computers being used to do mind control.
I was reading about that too. Well, we could go on all night about this. We may have to have you on again in the next couple of weeks, and we could talk a little bit more about that. Ed, it was a real pleasure having you on. Go check out his website, you guys, and I will have this guy on again in the very near future. Thanks so much for joining me tonight on Cosmic Radio.
You're welcome, and if I put enough truth to you, that would be fine. And if not, keep looking for the truth.
I'm always looking for the truth, and we will have you on again real soon, I promise.
And we'll get some people to call in and rattle my chain and get some more information.
Okay, sounds good. We'll see you later, Ed. Good night, and thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, that was Ed Grimsley, and you can check out his website at www.edgrimsley.com, or you can email him at ed.grimsley@yahoo.com. Very interesting and intelligent human being. Now, I know we have to shift gears for just a brief moment. We only have about 10 minutes left in this show. And as promised, I will go over Capricorn's forecast. And who better to discuss Capricorn than a Capricorn herself? I will say this about being Capricorn. We are a very karmic sign. And with that, I mean what we do will come back to us, whether it's good or bad. Besides Capricorn, Pisces is the two signs in the zodiac that have the most karmic residue, meaning you need to do good, goats. Do good, and good things will come. Do bad, and it will come quicker than any other sign in the zodiac. We rule the planet of Saturn, and Saturn rules karma. Our nickname in astrology is the devil, which I have been called a few times. We're also the manipulator or the gold digger, which those are not very nice terms for Capricorn. I try never to manipulate people, and I'm far from a gold digger. Your animal's the goat. Your ruling country is actually England, and if you notice how English people live a long time, and they're very, you know, English are very proper, and some people almost say they're snooty and snotty. Well, unfortunately, Capricorn is the snob of the zodiac. I had a girlfriend ask me the other day, just to make it short and sweet, because I just don't understand. She says, we're both Capricorns, but you listen to this horrible music that makes your ears bleed sometimes. I thought Capricorns were supposed to be of the utmost refinement. And I said, technically that is true. I said, but no two Capricorns are alike. And that is very true. And when you deal with a Capricorn with a fire moon, whether it's Aries or Leo, or like myself, Sagittarius, well, we tend to be a little on the wild side. So anyway, our body parts are the bones, the joints, the skeletal system, and the skin. You'll find a lot of Capricorns have very beautiful skin. Our energy is restrictive and structural, and our color is gray and deep brown, and our mineral is zinc. Now, on to some information for Capricorn. You are the builder of great towers. You holding all in social power. You strive to climb to the highest peak, for honor has no place for the weak. You are Capricorn, child of Saturn. Now, in the next couple of weeks, Capricorn, a well-deserved promotion or deal are ahead for you. Be happy, and you cannot lose. Now, I do want to share something with you that I discovered on my own just a couple of days ago, looking at a couple of different charts. Capricorn, I believe it's on January 10th, and I apologize, I got this information so late I didn't write it down. Believe around January 10th or 11th, there's a couple of planets that are going into alignment in the sign of Capricorn. And one of them is Jupiter, the Lord of Luck. Jupiter and Mars, and I believe Mercury might be another one, or is it? It's the Moon. My apologies. Jupiter, Mars, and the Moon are all going into alignment with Capricorn. This is starting on the 11th, the 12th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. Those couple of days, I'm not telling people to go out and gamble, but try your luck, Capricorn. I'm curious to see if it works. You're going to be very lucky on these days. So if you hit it big, hit me up on my website, cosmiccoderadio.com, or on my Facebook page, which is Cosmic Radio. In the very near future, I will be building a new website, but we're in a waning moon, and I do nothing until January 11th, and the new moon just so happens to be in Capricorn. That's why I said go gamble, because the moon is in Capricorn as well. Now, Capricorn, this lunation will mature right on your first house for the next 2 weeks. Take care of yourself. The stars want you around a long, long time. There's going to be lots of progressive changes that are going to happen to you. Also in your partnership area, you need to let go of the past and may need to start fresh with somebody else. The stars will be with you after the next new moon. Taking chances at this time will bring some rewards for all of you. People will admire your beauty, your gentleness, and your energy as a whole as you become more magnetic to the world. Now, not only is the moon going into Capricorn, but I believe the day before, on the 9th, Venus is moving into Capricorn as well. So, you know, we've got, like, what's after a trifecta? You know, we've got a quadruple planet alignment going on here, all for Capricorn. Reach out and grab it, Cappy. I'm going to play the lottery too and see what happens. Make the needed changes to improve your physical and spiritual life. And if this means a new partner, then so be it. Your intuition's going to be spot on, Cappy. And so are your dreams. Listen to them carefully. You want to be cautious with money matters after the full moon, as you're going to have to find ways to make more money. This could also mean maybe a new job opportunity or promotion coming your way. So many possibilities the stars have for you, Capricorn. You are strongly motivated to succeed. And with dedication, you will gain a position of power and respect in life. You are gifted with computers, and you possess strong managerial skills and moral and organizational principles. You are more than any other sign in the zodiac. We as Capricorns strive for respect and accomplishments. Now, Saturn is a karmic planet, and that rules your life. So, speaking from my own self, we have a tendency to get very depressed. Don't feed into negative thoughts. Do a little meditation, a little yoga, listen to some nice music. The part of God in you, Capricorn, is going to be much stronger than the stars you inherited. And you have the power to master this with the use of the cosmic code to your advantage. Now, Capricorn, your real gifts are your mind, psychology, and astropsychology. You're the engineer of the zodiac and will do very well with electronics or possibly working for Uncle Sam. You're also great at being a good homemaker, and you adapt with investments. So Capricorns on a whole do very, very well in investments. As a rule, you favor a successful business environment where you can apply your tremendous organizational gifts. Now, keep in mind, the location of your natal head and tail will seriously alter the strengths and weaknesses of Saturn in your chart. Now, unfortunately, Capricorn, the downfall for you is religion and chemical addictions. Look at Rush Limbaugh, Mel Gibson, who's that lady that does radio? Dr. Laura. These are all good examples involving religion and or chemical substance. Look at Mel Gibson. He's both, I think, a raging alcoholic and a religious nut. Rush Limbaugh, you know, he's had addictions to OxyContin. I don't know if he's religious. Dr. Laura, my understanding is she's extremely religious. See, when I say there are no two Capricorns that are alike, I'm a Capricorn, and I am so far from being religious, it isn't even funny. Now, I am spiritual, but I am not religious, and I never will be. Now, I just want to give you some good news. I want to tell you a little bit about what's going to happen to you in 2013, Capricorn. Okay, on August 30th of 2012, the dragon moved, or as I call it, changing of the guards, from Sagittarius, Gemini, on to Scorpio, Taurus. This is going to stay in this sign until February 19th of 2014. It's going to be regulating, will stimulate all affairs regulating your 11th house of wishes, friends, and groups, and your 5th house, the tail will be in, love, children, romance, and general speculation. Now, with this, the 11th house of growth and luck, and this is also the house of friends and wishes. Anything's possible. So many of my wishes have come true in the last couple of months. It's incredible. And my friends have made it happen. I'm attracted to Scorpios as friends, and they rule my, Scorpio rules my 11th house. It rules all of Capricorn's 11th house. If you're a January Capricorn, look to your Scorpio friends. This new dragon energy is going to bring a sense of adventure and drive. With enough hard work, many of your wishes will come true. The tail will be in the 5th house, and you may There may be some new experiences, speculation, and or obligations that may conflict with your children. Cappy, you are going to be tested to the limits here involving affairs of love and children. Indeed, 2013 could mark the end of important relationships that will directly affect your children and the support to them. So Capricorn, be strong. But I have good news, and I'm almost out of time, and this will be the last bit I talk about. Jupiter is going to be cruising through your house here in 2013 all the way to February 2014. The great planet of Jupiter, the Lord of Luck, Expansion, Protection, Traveling, Foreigners, and Studying, will be cruising through a few signs, starting with Gemini until the 26th of June. Then on this date, the planet of luck will move and stay in the sign of Cancer, which is all of our January babies' seventh house of marriage and partnerships. It's going to stay here until July 19th, 2014, when the option to fix a situation or get into a long-lasting relationship with a foreign person will be offered to you. Jupiter's luck will benefit you drastically by house and sign for which the transit is taking place. However, for those of you out there who I've completely lost, you could know more if you decided to get a mini reading, and you can always go to my website and order that. I was just on a radio show the other night, and we did very well with some of the mini readings. So good luck to you, Capricorn, and may 2013 be your best year ever. We will see you in 2 weeks from now, not next week, but in 2 weeks from now, and we're going to probably go over some native issues. I'm sure you've heard about Idle No More. I'm going to bring you some information and some guests on Idle No More. It's a big movement, and it's not just for Native Americans. We all need to get involved. Till 2 weeks from now, everyone stay safe. Blessings. I'm out of here.